I don't consider myself to be what people refer to as a motorhead, somebody that's a real car buff. But having grown up in the 50s and 60s, I like the older cars from those eras. I remember sitting on the porch with my dad and brothers and cars would go by and, you know, we could name every car that went by in the year that it was. But now they all just kind of look alike. But I've always thought it would be great to own a classic car. And if I could get the classic car of my dreams, it would be a 1958 Chevy convertible. Well, I've looked online at some, and anything that, you know, looks decent has been restored and, you know, doesn't have a gazillion miles on it. You really can't get one for under $25,000. And probably new, maybe cost $1,500. And I've seen them as high as $125,000. So that's really not in our budget. But I think back to the cars that I owned. My first car was a 1953 Ford. I paid 10 bucks for it. It was a piece of junk, but it got me up and down the road for a few months before I didn't put any oil in it and blew the engine. And then when I was a senior in high school, just before I graduated, I bought a 1961 Chevy, $500. It was an Impala, gray, red and white interior, nice looking car. I went in the service and I couldn't have it in basic. I had it for a while in my training after that. And then my brother got a hold of it and he destroyed it. But I've been watching the, I think it's pronounced Mecam, M-E-C-A-M, auto auctions on TV, and just amazed at some of those cars and what some people are willing to pay, able to pay. You know, I watched the other night and there was this one guy who bought two cars in a row. One was a Chevy Camaro and the other was a Chevy Chevelle. And man, it just, they were both over $50,000. And I'm thinking, well, you know, wouldn't it be nice? You know, but, you know, it's okay to dream, but it's not okay to covet. And, you know, the Mecam Auto Auction is going to be right here in Kissimmee in January. It's the largest one that they have all year long. And I'm hoping to go. It's going to be there for about a week or 10 days, something like that. And I'd like to go one day just to look and, you know, make sure that I, you know, take a towel with me while I'm drooling all over the place. But just to see, you know, wouldn't it be nice if the Lord said, okay, you know, I guess I'll drop an extra $50,000 on you, you know, so you can buy this car. I don't think it's going to happen, but I just want to be there and be ready just in case. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for the things that you do provide us for. Lord, your word says that you will meet all of our needs. Okay, our wants, they're on the back burner sometimes. Sometimes you give us our wants. You give us the desires of our heart. But Lord, you meet our needs, and that's what's really important. And Lord, we all have the same basic needs. And Lord, you give them to us. You give them different ways, different amounts. But Lord, you meet those needs for us, and I just praise you for that. The one need we have is for you, and you are always there. And so, Lord, help us to look at your word and to see the message that you have for us today. Because, Lord, I know it's going to be important, and it's more important than any of the things of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. So, that's, I need to talk about something much more important than old cars, and that's our body. Maybe it's better said the body of Christ is what I want to talk about. Different places in the New Testament, it talks about the body of Christ. And that's what we are, a living, functioning body. I think it's a great analogy that gets used by Paul, because each part has a job to do. And we look at the parts and we try to figure out, well, what part am I? You know, I mean, where do I fit into this body? What's my function? You know, looking at the human body, which part would you say is the most important? Now, I'm not a doctor, and so, you know, when I start speaking about body parts, I may get some things messed up here, so don't hold that against me. But I think that would be a hard question to answer. If somebody asked you, you know, which part of your physical human body would you say is the most important part? And I know we have many parts that we can't live without. You know, you have to have a heart because it's got to pump the blood through your body. But without veins and arteries, the heart can't function. Okay, it's got no means of pumping the blood. So, you know, are the veins and the arteries more important than the heart? So that's kind of hard to figure. That's got to go together. You can't say, you know, just the heart. You know, without the heart pumping, you have no need for veins and arteries. And it just gets more and more complicated. You know, when you try, you know, your brain, you know, sends out signals to your heart, says, okay, time to pump, you know, pump, you know, pump. And so, you know, is the brain the most important part? Well, let's look at Scripture and see what it says about the body. In Colossians 1:18, it says that Christ is the head of the body. Okay, so looking at it that way, you'd have to say that the head must be the most important part. Because if the most important part was, you know, your right foot, you know, it would say that Jesus was your right foot. Or if it was your, you know, left index finger was the most important part, that's where Jesus would be, in your left index finger. You know, but it's not. It says that Christ is the head of the body. So let's take a look in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, in the first 11 verses, it's talking about the spiritual gifts. And we'll get there someday, soon, hopefully. But starting in verse 12 of chapter 12, it says this in the, well, I was going to do it in the message, but Eugene, he just got kind of long-winded. So let's look at verses 12 through 14 in the New Living Translation. Okay, it says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. And we all have, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. Well, I think we're good here. You know, we can understand that. We know what Paul's talking about, I believe, what he's trying to tell us. But verses 15 to 17, you know, that's pretty cut and dried too. But I'll read them anyways. It says, if the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, wouldn't that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? So Paul's using pretty simple logic, okay, maybe too simple for some of you, but let's go on and see what he says in verses 18 to 21. It says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it. How strange it would be, or excuse me, how strange a body would it be if it had only one part? Now, just a quick note here on that verse. And that is, if God wanted it that way, it would have worked just the way he wanted it to. Because he was and is the designer of our bodies. So if God wanted us, each one of us, to just be a foot, that's what we would be, and we would be able to function because that's the way God would have made it. Okay, maybe that's a little strange, but that's my thought. Okay, so going on, it says, yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Now, in verses 22 to 26, he starts to talk more about the body and not just the parts. Okay, because it says, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary, and the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the believers, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Now, okay, if you're talking about your human body, you know, I think I can explain it like, you know, if your back hurts, you know, it just kind of messes you up all over. Because, you know, you can't do everything the way you want to. And so, you know, I think that's what he's talking about. When one part suffer, that all the parts suffer with it. Okay? So now Paul's going to tie this together in verses 27 through the first part of 31. He says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. Okay? Now listen up. Paul didn't say that, I didn't. Okay, first are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Okay? Like I said earlier, we're not going to get into the gifts. Paul is just giving us a list for them. Now, a question. Did Paul put these in any special order? Okay? Because he started out saying first, are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then he listed the other ones. So is he saying that the apostles are the most important? Well, I don't know. Personally, I don't think so. I think it's just a list. Okay, he had to start somewhere. I mean, I guess could have gone and done it in alphabetical order. Maybe he did when it was in Greek. But, you know, he's just giving us a list. But what does Paul mean when he says, so you should desire the most helpful gifts? The King James, it says we should desire the best gifts. The NIV, New American Standard, and Amplified Bible, and others say the greater gifts. Well, the Greek word there is kriton, which means the best or better. And that's the only time in the Bible that that word is used. So we'll come back to that later when we talk more about spiritual gifts. So let's get back to our bodies, okay? All right, when Paul is listing the parts of the body of Christ, the apostles, prophets, teachers, etc., he didn't mention the worship leader. He didn't talk about the Christian or the children's coordinator or the janitor or the head usher. He didn't talk about security person. He didn't talk about those that work in guest services or, you know, the one that does the computer work and does the AV. You know, I mean, obviously some of those people weren't around. So that's why I think that Paul is just mentioning some of the parts of the body, because there had to have been other jobs and just those seven or eight, whatever it was that Paul listed, okay, within the body of Christ. So that's why he's just giving us some of the parts of the body and not giving us an all-inclusive list. It's like when you get up to speak and want to thank some people. You know, you're always going to forget somebody. You know, somebody gets up, you know, they've been given the Academy Award or whatever it might be, and they say, you know, I want to thank this person and this person and this person and this person. And then they get done and they sit down and say, oh man, I should have thanked this one. Oh, why didn't I thank? Oh man. You know, so that's why, you know, you get up and you want to think, you know, I've got all these people out there I need to thank. And so, you know, just thank you to everybody that's helped me. You know, he's not saying, if I didn't call your position, okay, in the list of apostles, teachers, and whatnot, that's because you're just not important. You know, Paul's not saying that. Because there's many parts of the body in today's church that go unnoticed until they stop doing whatever it is that they do. I think I talked about it before. We had a man in one of the churches we had in New York. This church, just before we had gotten there, they'd put in an elevator. The church was three floors. Okay, the basement was like their fellowship hall. They had a kitchen down there, a big open room. And then the second floor was Sunday school classes and office and stuff like that. And then the top floor was the sanctuary. And so they'd put this elevator in. Well, the problem was, to get to the elevator, you either had to walk upstairs or downstairs. There was no way of getting to the elevator without going up or down the stairs. A couple years later, they put in a ramp, finally, so you could get to the second floor and get in the elevator. But there was this one guy that knew the elevator because they had a lot of problems with it. You know, people got stuck between floors. People would get to a floor and the door wouldn't open, you know. But there was this one guy that, you know, he knew just what to do, okay? Well, he died very suddenly. And after Bernard died, and they started having problems with the elevator, everybody said, well, you know, what did Bernard do? Well, nobody knew what he did. So he was certainly a lot more important than what people gave him credit for when he was alive. So what that means, what I'm telling you, is that every part of the body has a function. You know, God didn't just randomly throw in parts. Okay, when he was creating Adam and created the billions and billions of people since then, you know, he didn't just randomly throw in some extra parts. You know, he wasn't sitting there with Jesus and say, hey, what's this for? And Jesus said, yeah, I don't know, Dad. Why don't you just throw one in somebody and see what it does? You know, that's not the way that I think it worked. But I don't think that was their conversation at any time. Every part was put into our body for a specific reason. Now, looking at our human body, there's some parts that we can live without, okay? Now, have you ever thought that someone in your church was an appendix, okay? That they could be removed and the body would function just fine, okay? Now, there was a fellow pastor of mine. He had two small churches near my two small churches. And there was this one woman that had been running that church for years and years and years. And she suddenly died. And John told me, said, you know, since, I don't even remember the woman's name, passed away, you know, things are just going so much better at church. You know, there's fewer problems. There's less division. You know, everything is just going really well, nice and smooth. Now, I think every church has at least one of those appendixes. And so if you look around and you don't see who it is, maybe it's you, okay? So maybe you need to see how you're functioning. Seriously, or maybe that was serious, the body of Christ was made to function together. Everyone doing their part, everyone using their talents for the Lord. Now, maybe you can't pray as well as Rupert, you know, but you can still pray. You know, I mean, when Rupert prays, you know, he prays in the King James Version, and, you know, thou this and comest here and all of that. And you think, wow, that's really awesome. I don't know what he's saying, but that really sounds awesome. You know, well, you can still pray. You know, and maybe Bertha is really a great teacher, and you may be just as good or better than Bertha. And maybe Bertha needs a break. You know, maybe it's time for you to take over Bertha's Bible study or Sunday school class, whatever it may be. And Julius, you know, Julius, he can sing like an angel. So unless you sing like Pee Wee Herman, sing. You know, it doesn't matter if you don't sound like Julius. And even if you do sound like Pee-wee, just make sure it's joyful, okay? Well, after Paul listed off the body parts, the apostles and teachers and whatnot, he asked, are all apostles, are all teachers, are all prophets, yada, yada, yada. And the plain answer is no. You know, just like the human body won't function with just ears or just feet. The body of Christ won't function with just apostles or just prophets. And so you need to find your part and do your part to the best of your ability. Bill Hybels, the pastor of, was it Willow Creek Church in the Chicago area, one of the largest churches in the country, you know, he said, you know, even if you're a really small church, he says, find what you can do and do it to perfection. He says, you're not going to be able to do everything that the big church can do. He says, but you find what you can do and you do it to perfection. He says, then you're glorifying the Lord. That's what we need to remember, okay? Find out what it is that your function is and do it. It's like this, you know, if you're not doing your part. Okay, let's say you want to go out for a walk and your left leg says, I don't really want to go out for a walk. I'd rather just sit here in the recliner. And so you say, well, that's too bad, left leg, we're going for a walk. And so, you know, you start out and you're going, you know, at a regular pace, and left leg says, enough of this. You know, I'm going back home. And so the left leg starts taking shorter steps, okay? And your right leg is taking normal steps, and the left leg is taking shorter steps, and so you're just going to keep kind of going around and around in a circle. And you're unable to accomplish what you wanted to do because part of the body was not doing its part. We've all been called to do a part. We all have to do whatever that part is. Casting Crowns has a song that speaks to this, and the name of the song is If We Are the Body. And the refrain goes like this: but if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? You know, if Jesus' arms aren't reaching, why? You know, why aren't the arms of Jesus, the body of Christ, reaching out? Okay, that's what we're called to do. Why isn't it happening? Or why is it not happening? And if Jesus' hands, if they're not healing, what's the problem? Okay, there's people in our churches have been given a gift of healing and they're sitting on it. They're not doing anything with it. Why? And if Jesus' words aren't teaching, what's the problem? You know, why isn't the teaching being done? You know, every church, every body of Christ needs to have, you know, small groups that are active and teaching and, you know, drawing people in. And if we're the body and his feet aren't going, well, why aren't they? Why aren't our feet going out into the community, going out to the other side of the world and doing what Jesus wants us to be doing? Why? Why is it not happening? And most importantly, why isn't his love showing people that he's the way? Okay. In so many ways, I can tell you why. It comes down to one word: fear. I'm not going to go there today, but real soon, because that word has been coming at me from so many directions. Again this morning, when I was on the treadmill and I was watching a podcast from Flatirons Church in Colorado, and that was what the man was speaking about, was fear. So we will go this way. Okay, we, you, me, us, the body of Christ, we're just not doing our part. Okay, and I said we because, you know, I do this podcast every week, and I have 200 plus people a day listening to it from all around the world. Okay, UK, France, Germany, China, Japan, Russia, you know, all over the world. But that's more people in one day than I would speak to on a Sunday morning. Okay? But that's not enough. You know, God has given me gifts and talents that I'm not using for Him. Now, I think my wife and I have found the body that He wants us to be a part of. I hope so, because I want to get busy being in the body. I need to get busy in the body, not being a busy body, but being busy in the body. But I want to look at another passage before I close, and that's Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica. Okay, he was writing to them because they weren't getting a lot of solid teaching. Okay, he had been there earlier. If you look in Acts 17, I believe it is, he had started the church there, but he had to leave quick because the Jews were wanting to kill him. So he wasn't able to stay there as long as he wanted to. And so he wrote two letters to the church there to encourage them. And so let's pick this up in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 to 18. And it sounds like a lot, but there's some short verses in there. So he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always tries to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Okay, I interpret this passage like this. Support those that are there to support you. Everyone has a job to do. Make sure they're doing it. Be there for each other no matter what's happening. I think that's what Paul is telling the church there. I think that's what he's telling me this morning. Because that's what the body is supposed to be doing. Jesus told us that over and over. But it's too simple, I guess, and people just don't get it. You know, before I went in the ministry, I had taken different government exams, civil service tests. And the monitor would have to go over everything step by step. Okay, it would start out like this. "Okay, I want you to look at your form, and on the top, you see a row of boxes. Above that row on the left side, it says last name. I want you to print your last name, putting one letter in each box." "Yes, you with your hand up." "Well, my last name is really short, and there's a lot of boxes. What am I supposed to put in the other boxes?" You know, after about the fourth really dumb question, I would be thinking, if this person can't even fill out their name and address, do we really want them working in this job? I mean, give me a break. How simple can it be? You know, and there's some stuff in the Bible that you look at and say, why are people not getting it? What's wrong with people that they can't read this verse, they can't read this passage and see, oh, this is what it says? No, they look at it and say, "Dude, I just don't understand what this mean here." You know, and I've been in similar situations in Bible studies. Okay, you know, well, was John the Baptist's coat made out of camel hide, or was it woven from camel hair? My answer to that question: what difference does it make? Give me a break. Does it really matter? You know, I mean, if it was camel hide, are you going to say, well, you know, I'm going to get PETA after him? You know, what difference does it make? So then verse 16 from 1 Thessalonians 5 comes back to me that says, always be joyful. And I try. Well, verses 12 and the beginning of 13 really hit me, because it started out in that passage, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work." Having been a pastor, I want to say this. Pastors are some of the most unappreciated people out there. Okay, it is so bad that somebody came up with Pastor Appreciation Month. Okay, the month of October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Okay, that they had to set aside a whole month for you to let your pastor know that you appreciate them. You know, I know it's like most other jobs. You know, you can do 100 things right and nobody notices. But do one thing wrong and the old waste product hits the fan. Okay? So I'm just saying, you know, appreciate and love on your pastors, your small group leaders, you know, your worship leader, those people that are there to lift you up and to bring you closer to the Lord. So God's put you into a body of believers. Okay, you may be there as a pastor. You may be there as that one person that nobody notices. But you've been put in that body and given a function. So if you've been given a function, and you have, okay, you're not there by mistake. It's not an accident that you're part of that body. And so you need to find your function and get functioning. Make the body a better place to be. You know, I want to pray for those that are part of the body. You know, I know that some of you have worked, you know, for years in whatever position it is that you have. And so I just want to lift you up. You know, Father, I give you thanks for those that take the time to do what you've called them to do. Whether they're maybe a Sunday school teacher that was asked 40 years ago to take this class over for a few weeks, and you've been there since, or whether you're the pastor of a church that has struggled with problem after problem, and they've had pastor after pastor, and things aren't going right. Lord, I just want to lift all those people up to you. That, Lord, we need to notice everybody that's a part of the body, because each one of us has a function. And if we're doing what we've been called to do, the body is going to be such a great place. It's going to be so much stronger than what it is right now. So Lord, help us to find that function that you have for us and to work at it. Maybe you won't be the best Sunday school teacher that there's ever been in the world, but you can be the best Sunday school teacher that you can possibly be. You know, whatever your function is, do it to perfection, to glorify the Lord. And I know that there's some that, you know, this may be the first time you've ever listened to something like this. And, you know, maybe you were part of a church a long time ago and church has really turned you off in 100 different ways. And maybe you realize now that, you know, maybe it's time to come back. And maybe it's time to be a part of the body. You know, not just be something that's added on to the body, but become a part of the body and surrender your life to Christ. And so I just lift those people up. That, Lord, they need to realize that they've been sinners. You know, we all sin. And so they need to admit that. And they need to just agree with what Scripture tells us, that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, that he died on the cross for our sins. He was perfect, blameless, spotless, without sin of any kind for 30-some years. I can't go without sin for 30 minutes, but he did it for 30-some years, and so he died on that cross for my sin, but he rose from the dead. He was seen by the disciples, he was seen by the women, he was seen by others, and when he left, he said, I'm coming back. I don't know when. You just need to be ready. So if that's you, give your life to Christ. Let him put you in the body where he wants you to be and show you the function that you need to have, that you can do more for him. I pray this in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.